Welcome to the jungle. What's going on? A tremendous Monday to you. My name's Jim Rome. Hope you had a good weekend. It is great to be with you. You know, I just don't buy this crap about dog days, dead of summer, nothing to talk about, nothing to do. There's a lot to talk about and a ton to do. Let's not waste any time. Let's get at it. Telephone number is toll-free. I've got open phones in hour number one, 1-800-636-8686. 1-800-636-8686. Follow me on Twitter if you don't mind, at Jim Rome. And you can email me at Rome, R-O-M-E, at havetake.com. All right, so the phone lines are open. I've got open phones in hour number one. I've got three interviews which are coming up a little bit later on. And I will tell you about those momentarily. Meantime, it is the summertime, and there is a lot to cover. I don't want to waste any time. I want to get this right now. Let's talk about the Open Championship. And yes, I'm well aware that Odell Beckham Jr. did an interview, and he's still upset about the way things went down with the Giants and the way they dealt him, and he feels disrespected. I've got lots of thoughts on that, but I want to start with some golf. I want to talk about the buildup to the Open Championship. Now, in that buildup, there was a lot of talk about Rory McIlroy, about Brooks Koepka, Phil Mickelson, Tiger Woods. Lots of talk about lots of different guys. However, not a lot of talk about Shane Lowry. If you want to talk odds, for instance, you could have gotten him anywhere from 55 to 1 all the way to 105 to 1. So what happens? He goes out and he shoots a 67 in the first round. Very nice Thursday. A nice round. A really nice round. But even with that 67, it had that feel of a name that jumps up on Thursday, but then fades away quickly. But he then backed that up with another 67 on Friday. Again, good round. Nice round. In fact, make that two nice rounds. Still, that's inevitably where the big dogs take over. Somebody will come out and shoot a monster score on Saturday, and Lowry fades, never to be heard from ever again. And that's exactly what did happen. A big dog did jump up and take over. Somebody did shoot a monster round on Saturday. But that somebody was Shane Lowry. A bogey-free 63. So, 67, 67, 63. And with that, the 148th Open Championship was over by Saturday night. I mean, sure, there were still 18 holes to play. And you still had guys like Brooks Koepka and Tommy Fleetwood, a.k.a. Golfing Jesus, who were on the leaderboard, technically, but there's no way you were running down Shane Lowry. At least that's what the entire world thought. But not necessarily the guy himself. Not when he still had that 2016 U.S. Open at Oakmont, still rattling around in his dome. He was still thinking about having a four-shot lead after 54 holes, only to shoot 76 coming in Sunday and come from ahead to lose. He still had the scar tissue from that. I mean, of course, who wouldn't? As he said, the days after the U.S. Open were torture, and he drove himself insane with all the what-ifs, what could have beens. Maybe that's why he didn't sleep so well Saturday night. Maybe that's why he was up so early Sunday morning. Maybe that's why he said this afterwards.
I suppose I didn't even know going out this morning if I was good enough to win a major, you know?
It's a really honest answer, right? I didn't even know myself this morning if I was good enough to win a major. Well, he got his answer. He is good enough to win a major. Yesterday was not perfect. Far from it. He had his shakiest round of the tournament, yet he still came to the 18th green, and he had this moment.
Shane Lowry is the Open champion. The return of the Open to Royal Port Rush has been an absolute triumph. And just to set the seal on an unforgettable week, an Irishman has won in Ireland.
Shane Lowry, I tweeted it, I'll say it again right here, sheer domination. That was a monster performance. An absolute masterclass in how to dominate a course and a field. And that's how you bust out of the shadow of guys like Darren Clark, Patrick Harrington, Graham McDowell, Rory McIlroy. By coming to the first Open Championship in Northern Ireland in nearly 70 years and smashing up the entire field. And the fact is, while no one was really talking about him coming in, it's not like he came out of nowhere. I mean, the talent's been there. We know this. There's a story from back in the day of swing guru Pete Cowan seeing a bunch of young Irish golfers including Rory, and his response after watching them play was, quote, "Rory's going to be great, but there's another good one out there, the little fat lad with the glasses," end quote. Let's take a moment and stop on that for a minute. Why don't we stop on the little fat lad with glasses? As great a win as that is, notice nobody's saying, damn, this dude looks more like an NFL linebacker than he does a golfer. You know why nobody's saying that? Because he doesn't look like a linebacker. And he does look like a golfer. Or at least the way golfers used to look before the Cat, Brooks, I don't know, Gary Woodland showed up. And that little fat lad with glasses is now the champion golfer of the year. And it happened just a year after that little fat lad with glasses was crying in the parking lot at Carnoustie. It's not me saying that. He admitted it himself. He was crying in the parking lot at Carnoustie because he said yesterday, after he missed the cut in the Open in 2017, he was having a really hard time.
Golf's a weird sport, and you never know what's around the corner, and that's why you always kind of need to remind yourself, and you need to have the people there to remind you that you need to just fight through the bad times. And, you know, I sat in the car park in Carnoustie on the Thursday, it's probably, you know, almost like a year ago right to this week, and I cried. My golf wasn't my friend at the time. It was, something that it was becoming very stressful and was weighing on me, and I just didn't like doing it. And look, 12, what a difference a year makes, I suppose.
How do you not love that guy? Hell yes, what a difference a year makes. You go from being in a spot where you don't like the game and the game doesn't like you, to being on top of the game, from blubbering out in the parking lot to drinking out of the claret jug in only a year's time. I mean, somehow this guy got right. Somehow he turned it all around. He got his game right. He got his head right. And then he had that moment yesterday. And again, it's not just what he did, but how he did it. He was under immense pressure. Maybe not Rory pressure, who came in as the favorite and the native son, but big pressure nonetheless. And my guy was not fazed by it at all this week. Being from Ireland, playing essentially in front of your home fans all weekend, no problem at all. And the pressure that seemed to get to Rory never got to Lowry. Again, he wasn't facing the same kind of level of scrutiny, but when the pressure did build up, after the first two rounds, he stomped it out with that epic 63 on Saturday. But the best part about this guy isn't that he was too cool for the whole thing. There were so many great lines from his press conference. Quote, "I feel like this is an out-of-body experience. I was so calm coming down the last. It was so hard out there. I wasn't doing so well around the turn, but everyone else was struggling. I just had to focus on staying as far ahead of Tommy as I could." He went on to say, quote, "I talked a lot to Bo, my caddy. I couldn't stop thinking about winning, but that was after 6 or 7 holes," end quote. And what about those conversations with his caddy? What were they talking about?
You know, I kept on telling him how nervous I was, how scared I was, how much I didn't want to mess it up.
Man, that's so good. That is so good to me. Like, one golfer after another will try and tell you they were so focused, they were so locked in, they didn't even think about winning. They were just about the next shot. They were just about the process. This guy's admitting he couldn't stop thinking about winning, that he was almost distracted by it. He admitted to his caddy, "I'm scared, man. I'm scared." And why wouldn't he be? He had never won a major. He had one top 10 finish on the PGA Tour in 2017. He was crying in the parking lot last year. Of course the guy was scared. He's just the only dude ever brave enough to admit that he was scared. And then finally, if you think that he was distracted, check out his grandmother. She told RTE, yesterday was not an easy day.
Was it tough watching at the weekend?
Oh, terrible. Emotional now it was. I hadn't slept last night. I hadn't drank a brandy since 2009. I drank 2 years and it nearly killed me.
Grams. She said, "I hadn't had a brandy in 10 years and I had 2 yesterday and, quote, it's nearly killed me." That's 2 for me, in other
words. That's 2 for me.
That's 2 for Grandma. One jug for her grandson. 2 brandies for Grandma. And an awesome moment for all of Ireland. And it had nothing to do with Rory. Go figure. 1-800-636-8686. Like I said, don't tell me about the dog days of summer. We've talked a lot of golf in the past week, and I'm not done yet. I want to get into Brooks Koepka. Didn't win the event, but he won the majors. My man got up in that top five. Kind of helped salvage my weekend a little bit. I did get down on him in the top five. I had him to win, but I also got a little side hustle on him in the top five, which got some of that back for me. So that was nice. So I want to talk about Brooks Koepka. Koepka is here for a couple of reasons. To dominate and to play quickly. And he's got no time for anybody who plays slowly. Which means he and J.B. Holmes were not on the same page. So I've got that coming up. Again, in some other places, the top story might have been Odell Beckham. For me, it's a story. It's a thing. It's a pretty big deal, but it's not the top story because if we're going to react every single year to a story out of season about an NFL player or a story out of season about that NFL player, we'll be chasing our own tail forever. However, I will get to it a little bit later on. Beckham saying he felt disrespected. Oh, newsflash! I was disrespected. Right. Everybody in the history of sports, regardless of sport or year or era or generation, who gets traded feels disrespected. Right. Because your boss says, we don't need you. We don't want you. We're better without you. Is that some kind of newsflash? You felt disrespected? Of course. 1-800-636-8686. Quickly, some email reaction. Rome, seeing that Shane Lowry won the Open, that was interesting. Prior to winning a major, if you showed me a picture of Lowry, I couldn't tell you if he was an athlete or the manager of an O'Reilly's. Signed, Fat Elite Athletes. Chris no longer in St. Pete. We're outside sales. Wore the Jungle Open. I need an update on the Jungle Open. How did the inaugural Jungle Open go in Omaha? Yeah, that's what I'm saying. The guy, his story is so great because only a year ago, he didn't like golf. Golf didn't like him. And he was crying in the parking lot at Carnoustie. Number two, as I mentioned, notice nobody was saying afterwards, damn, this guy looks like an NFL linebacker. Damn, did this guy just get back from the combine? No, he looks like dad bod. He looks like a golfer. He looks like the average man. Nothing average about his ability to swing it. We know he has talent. But nobody's looking at him and saying, man, my man is moving some weights around. Those weights aren't going to move themselves. Shane Lowry's moving them. Who cares? Great story. Great dude. Loved it. Jim, Shane Lowry dominated that goat track. Majestic golf course. Dude, the course looked really nice. The conditions on Sunday were pretty horrible. But it's the Open Championship.
The golf course looks good.
And that's part of the story. He held it together. Hey, look, there were a lot of guys who had gone low who had a look at it on Sunday and absolutely messed the bed. The conditions were terrible. Here's an update, allegedly, on the Jungle Open. Hey, Jim, as a muscular and fit golfer, I was extremely frustrated at being paired with an obese player moving at a snail's pace yesterday in arguably the world's most famous tournament. I believe I would have won the championship in this foreign land if my playing partner had not been a slow-playing lard ass from the West. In shape, and angrily yours, Kyle in Green Bay, paired at the inaugural Jungle Open in Omaha with Beaks in Foodio City. Signed, Pin Lesks, non-Mulligan user. Word, Dave and Brea. Winning the one-day tournament at 67 over par and donating his $4 winner's check to Omaha General Hospital's Ricketts Research Center. One thing about Brooks. Brooks was really aggravated by the slow play, but I want to be clear about this. Brooks was not suggesting or insinuating that that's why he didn't win. He just was frustrated by the slow play. He's not saying that. And then this. From Bruno Garrett 1 on Twitter. Boss, how was your weekend? Mine was phenomenal. After I watched Manny beat Keith Thurman, me and Mill went 12 rounds in the bedroom. Signed, Alvin.
Dude, is that true?
Thought Manny Pacquiao looked great. Like, not great for a 40-year-old, but great. He looked great. Still one of the best doing it at 40. One thing about Thurman, and taking nothing away from Thurman, a champ and undefeated, the guy was inactive for 2 years. There are more dangerous guys out there than Thurman, but Thurman is plenty dangerous, and Manny looked great. Congratulations, Alvy. I hope you and Mill went 15 rounds, like back in the day.
Congratulations!
Dude.
Hey, Jim. Congrats to Shane Lowry on winning the Open. We are pulling for the guy who ended up in second, and that's because this is a huge Fleetwood house. Regards, Viagra. Mike in Buffalo helping him. More bums using the quiet please signs when it's their bedtime. Hey, Mike, I don't understand any part of that email at all. Hey, Romy. Yesterday's big victory was a huge accomplishment. Very excited to throw my weight around as a major winner. Regards, Shane Lowry's seasoning salt. I think you're making something out of nothing. All I'm saying is notice. Like whenever Brooks Koepka wins, all the talking heads jumping with, damn, man, that guy should be an NFL linebacker. Actually, kind of looks more like a safety than a linebacker. But he looks like an NFLer. He does. He's shredded. I'm just saying, Shane Lowry was far and away the best of the best. And he does not look like an NFL linebacker or a safety or a corner or a lineman or even a kicker for that matter. Geoff sent that in. All right, Dan, there's a nice fat open. Open phones, first hour. I can do that. 1-800-636-8686. All right, in terms of the interviews, Josh Heupel, top of hour number two, UCF head football coach. Robert Lucetich, excellent golf analyst right after that. And my man Ross Tucker in hour number three to wrap this thing. Hit me up. Call me up. It's summertime. What's up? Clones, did you know that Walmart offers two-day delivery with no membership fees? That's right. No membership fees for two-day delivery on millions of eligible items from Walmart. Get the items you need, have them delivered right to your front door. Think about the time you're going to save here. No wasting time sitting in traffic. More time to do the things you want to do, whatever it is you want to do. And because of Walmart's no-fee two-day delivery, two business day shipping, minimum $35 order, restrictions do apply. Man, it's summer. It's the best time of year. Make good use of your time. Save time. Let Walmart help you out. Walmart, two-day delivery.
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
What's cracking? Welcome back. I am Jim Rome. Hope you had a good weekend. My thoughts on Odell Beckham feeling disrespected that the Giants traded him. I'll have that for you next segment. I do want to double back to Brooks Koepka. I mentioned lots of golf to talk about, not just the Open Championship. There was another Open. The Jungle Open. The inaugural Jungle Open. A few clones got together and said, let's all play some golf. Let's have a few pops, play some golf. And let's document this thing on social. Let's just do what we do. Let's just be clones. And they did. So I said, I'm curious. I've got to know how that went down. How many people showed up? What was it like? Did it live up to the hype? Was it what you thought it would be? Let's find out. We go to Omaha. Brian in Omaha, Nebraska. Brian, what's going on? How are you?
Romy, how's it going, baby?
Good, man. How about you?
Dude, I can't complain. Spent all day yesterday on the couch hungover. Well deserved. Friday, me and a few of the boys, Dave from Berea, Kirby in the 402, and Scotty PhD, we played out at Quarry Oaks, top 100 public course in the country. Place was beautiful. Berea and my wife and I, we all went out to dinner. Next day, we woke up bright and early, played up at the Players Club. We had 20 people, 11 listeners, 9 contributors. Decided to go out and try and play 27 holes. 18 was good enough for about half of them. Some of the other guys made it through about 22 holes. A little blacked out at that point. One of our other guys, Jeff, he was talking to the barbecue up at his house. Made a great pork butt, fired up a hell of a lot of wings. Then we decided to hit the bar. Some of us cut it at about 1:30 in the morning. Kyle and Green Bay got into a fight wanted to get into a fight with a dude that was about 60 mocking him for his boat shoes. And then I guess he and a couple other guys might have hit the strip club, but I was passed out somewhere behind the bar in my own vomit. But, hey, it was worth it.
My man, so tell me really quickly, who was the best golfer and who was the worst?
There's a lot of bad golfers. But Dave and Casey and I, we both fired out of 79. I think with Berea's handicap, he shot about a net 78, and I think he's got about a 42 handicap. So good thing we made it a net game for him, because he left his trophy in the back of my van. He's definitely not getting that thing back till next year.
Brian, sounds like you guys got after it. That's a strong effort. Yeah, all right, my man, thank you very much. I appreciate you getting it started. Who else was there? He said Kyle nearly got into a fight. They were still going pretty strong at 1:30 and then hit a strip club. And there were, quote, a lot of really bad golfers. Hey, golf had nothing to do with it, right? It could have been a rugby match or a soccer game. Could have been anything. Just clones coming together, doing what they do. Drinking and trying not to get into a fight. 1-800-636-8686. Anybody else who was there? This guy was. Jeff, also in Omaha. Jeff, good to have you. How are you?
Great. How are you doing, Romy?
Good, good. Tell me about the weekend. How did it go?
It was awesome. Kyle is everything and then some that he's built up to be. The guy can party all night long, and he can bounce back the next morning like nothing happened. It's amazing. Brian in Buggahaw and Purvey in the 402, Dave and Berea, Dave and Casey via Rome. All those guys were just a blast to be with. The best golfers for sure were Brian and Dave and Casey via Rome. But the funniest thing of the weekend, I know Kyle had a little brush, but I would say the breakfast we had in the morning yesterday was pretty amazing because he ordered chocolate milk.
Man, that's how he bounces back, man. Chocolate milk. That's the answer. Yeah.
Gotta have your calcium.
All right, Jeff, thank you very much. He said the funniest thing of the weekend was Kyle ordering chocolate milk. I would. Who doesn't like chocolate milk? I'm good for a couple of glasses a year. Now, it's not the way I bounce back generally. In fact, I don't bounce back the way I used to. But I usually don't try and bounce back with chocolate milk. Maybe that's it. Anybody else? Was anybody else there at the inaugural Jungle Open? They had a golf tournament in Omaha, Nebraska. And guys came from far and wide to be a part of that. Am I missing anything else from it? 1-800-636-8686. Sounds like Kyle was lucky he didn't get his ass knocked out. And even if he did, he would have just woke up and smashed a glass of chocolate milk. He glossed me with a gloss of chocolate milk.
He glossed me!
And Mark Moda tweets, hey, for real, Rome. The inaugural Jungle Open was lit, but I need bail money. Signed, cardboard cutout Rome, sitting in the Buggahaw County Jail.
Get Mark Moda.
And Hitman Canadian tweets, an Omaha strip club. Did they have to milk the performers? Hey-o! Did they have to milk the performers? You're pretty happy with yourself, Hitman Canadian. You shouldn't be. All right, phone lines are open for the first hour. Josh Heupel, top of hour number two. Robert Lucetich, right after that. Ross Tucker coming up in hour number three. When we come back, I want to talk about Odell Beckham Jr. saying that he felt disrespected when the Giants traded him. Like, he's in a much better situation. Better team, better talent, better organization. Yes, I said that. A better organization. But still feels disrespected over how that went down. I will break it down when we come back. First up, here is a sport.
Live from Southern California, this is the Jim Rome Show on CBS Sports Radio.
Monday is an Ask the Pros Day brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. So what you want to do is go to CBSSportsRadio.com/AskThePros, submit a question, and then listen later in the program, and I'll answer one of them. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all of your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices, excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. Dear Rome, so Brooks Koepka is bent at J.B. Holmes for dropping an 87 while having his ass tied to a glacier. Understandable. But your playing partner could be so much worse. Sincerely, Sergio Garcia, Rory Sabatini, Tommy Bolt, any clone who golfs. Signed, Chad, on the North Coast. War filling up lakes with great shots. And quickly to Twitter. JJ Sport MO tweets, Van Smack, the inaugural Jungle Open was hot. 104 at tee time, yet Omaha TPC had enough beers and booze to break the heat. The scorecard stayed under the century mark. Dave from Berea, a true road warrior with a walk-off win. Epic beer cart service. Man, it had to be hot. It had to be really hot. Dan in Denver tweets, War Kyle getting a double bogey after shanking the ball into a cornfield. Kyle is on hold. We'll find out what happened to him. How close he came to getting knocked out. How this jungle excursion compared to some of the other ones he's made. And we'll get to him momentarily. I want to talk about Odell Beckham Jr. also in a moment. But first, let's just get right at it. Rex in Albuquerque, New Mexico. Happy Monday, Rex.
Thanks, Romy. You too. I'm so sick of these weight-obsessed clones cracking on everybody who's slightly pudgy. Hey, lames, the best players at the Open were Lowry, J.B. Holmes, and Lee Westwood. Their BMIs don't meet your lofty standards. Meanwhile, Tiger Duval and everybody else who wrenches their back stacking weight were watching from their hotel room, and those fasting on coffee grounds ended up boarding their G5 on Friday on their way back to Rancho Santa Fe. Golf's about speed, talent, and a mental game, not muscle-bound, knuckle-dragging Neanderthals. Out.
That was straight. Rack him. Good job, Rex. Was it so hard, Rex? This is who you can be. This is what you can do. Rex in the ABQ. Good solid take.
Rack him!
Yeah, that didn't work out so well for Hefty or Eldrick. This is who these guys are now. Old, busted up, more about the social, trying to get you to look at him, trying to get you to react to him. Oh, no way. Hefty lost 15 pounds in 6 days, fasting and having some kind of coffee blend, and it didn't help his game? No way. Yeah, obviously. He wasn't not playing well because he was fat. He was a Hall of Famer because he was fat. Obviously, him using that time to somehow lose that weight quickly or shock his system somehow, some way was not going to get it done. And it didn't. Are you really surprised by that? And Eldrick, the conditions are going to have to be perfect for him to contend for majors going forward. I mean, did you hear him afterwards? I can't wait to go home. Tiger Woods was saying that. I can't wait to go home. When has that guy ever said anything like that? I can't wait to get home. All right, so Green Bay. Kyle in Green Bay. Everybody so far who has called or emailed or even tweeted about the Open has talked about Kyle in Green Bay. Kyle has made a number of road trips on behalf of the program. He's come out here, he went to Buffalo, and he went to Omaha. And he's been a part of Clone Stocks in Wisconsin. Let's find out. Kyle, how was the weekend? How did it compare to some of your other jungle weekends?
Man, this was, I got to put it up there, man. It was one of the best weekends I've had. We're all Midwesterners, so we all just like to get beer, talk sports, talk politics. We had a great time. I did hit the strip club with another clone. I'm not going to say who, but it was a weird strip club. They couldn't show everything. So I'm like, what the hell is going on here? Did almost get in a fight. I was talking to some woman. She tried to introduce me to her husband. He wasn't having any of that. Luckily, Brian got in the middle, stopped it. But I got the Indy 500 all the way. I got the Jungle Open all the way. Next coming up is the Green Bay Clone Stock. Thursday night against the Eagles. It's going to be fun. Clones start taking off work. Get this thing rowdy this year. And then New York, Houston, Detroit in October. So I'm still out here. I'm getting it, Rome. Now I got to get that golden ticket. Show some of these bums how I do it, really. And that's all I got for today, Rome.
Hey, Kyle, really quickly. So what happened in that bar? Did you step out of line? Were you speaking inappropriately to this lady? How did you almost get into a fight? What happened?
I was just hitting on her. I'm like, oh, so where's this husband out of yours? And she's like, oh, right there. I'm like, oh, that loser. And then I came out for his boat shoes, his dad looked shoes, and gave him a look, and he wasn't happy with it. And he got kicked out of the bar. We did it. So he sang karaoke the rest of the night and had a blast. So,
well, so you hit on this guy's lady. You insulted this guy, and he was the one who got kicked out of the bar.
Yes, sir.
All right. See you, Kyle. Thank you very much. All right. So Kyle was hitting on this lady who happened to be married, and he looked over and said, what, you mean this loser? And he talked junk about his boat shoes, and he got kicked out of the bar, but you stayed and you sung karaoke and then went to some strip club that did not measure up to your standards. Kyle in Green Bay, if you need him. And he's still looking for that golden ticket. My man, you will still be looking for that golden ticket. You still do not have it. But he's getting ready for a Green Bay clone stock on a Thursday night. Look at the phone call. It's carrying hour number one coming off the inaugural Jungle Open. Was there anybody else there who wanted to talk about it? Hey, Adam Hawk, really quickly. What about Elks contest? How did that play out? How did that go? First of all, set it up again. Elk had a contest. You were a part of this. You got your ass kicked. How did it play out?
Yeah, there were 83 clones that took part in Elk's new app, the Secret Golf Gaming app. So for $10, we all picked four players that we thought would have the cumulative low score for the Open.
Who did you have?
I had Rory McIlroy, and that's all you need to know because he absolutely sunk my entire game, and it was over. Anyone that had Rory was done. A few people picked David Duval, and they were done too. So I finished middle of the pack, like 41 out of 83, and Robert Mead.
What did that pay? 41st out of 83.
It paid $0.
Right.
Robert Mead won, and he won close to $400. And then second and third got paid as well. Let me check it out here. I hate to do this live on the radio. Sorry about that, but I should have had it open.
That's all right. I put you on the spot.
Let's see here. Robert,
right, so that paid, but it paid $430?
$460? It paid $400.
Okay.
And he had Danny Willett, Brooks Koepka, Graham McDowell.
Okay.
So he had a really nice score of a total of 3 under, while second place was even, and third place was 7 over. So good scores were hard to come by for sure.
All right, so a good game.
Great
game. Some clones got paid. You had a good time.
Yeah.
Elk talked some junk. Elk was interacting with all the clones online.
And now Robert Mead gets a famous elk caricature drawn that will be delivered on Wednesday, which is great, and a signed bottle of vodka from a Masters winner.
Fuzzy.
Right.
So he's got a signed bottle of vodka, he's got a tune, and he's got 400 bones.
That's a pretty great weekend.
That's not bad at all.
A lot of clones said they're going to start watching golf now that they can gamble on it with Elk. So that's a really fun way to enhance a golf tournament. Not only do you get to gamble for $10, which is cheap, but you get to gamble against Elk. There are like 40 people that can say that they pick better players than Elk, so that's a nice little bragging right to have. And then a guy that gets a cartoon and a signed bottle of vodka, so it's fun.
What place did Elk come in?
Let me see here. I don't think he did too well. He was chasing and created a bunch of games on Saturday and Sunday to try to get his money back, which I also played in and had some better luck in. But I'm scrolling down. Elk took 28th out of 83.
Come on.
He did.
All right, so this is really interesting to me that you had a number of clones saying, I'm going to start watching golf right now because I know that I can gamble with Elk and talk some junk with Elk. That ordinarily, they said they'd start watching golf or they'd start gambling on golf.
Both. You know, I don't think a lot of people work golf into their weekend TV viewing habits, but they did this weekend because they were intrigued by the idea of having some action for only $10 and for going against a guy that is a major winner, 1995 PGA Tour winner, and they got to gamble against him.
This is really interesting. All right, Adam, thank you very much for that. It's really interesting. Let me jump off on that. I had Todd Furman on our podcast last week. It's still up right now. It's live. Don't listen to it during the show. Listen to it after the show or listen to it during your commute or listen when you're at the gym. But one of the things we got into was just that. If gambling is legalized, and it's getting legalized in more and more states, if gambling is legalized, would you start to gamble if you're a non-gambler? Or if you're somebody who only bets on the Super Bowl or maybe the NCAA championship or the Kentucky Derby, is that going to be your habit no matter what, even if it is legal? I mean, are there a bunch of people sitting around right now that won't do it because it's not legal in their state but are waiting for that moment? I mean, maybe, possibly, sort of debatable. But to Adam Hawk's point, there were a number of clones who said, ordinarily, I would never gamble on golf. In fact, I wouldn't have much interest in watching golf or talking about golf. But when I saw Elk, a guy that I love, had an app for it, and we could go up against him, talk junk, maybe beat him, then I had more of an interest. So again, that's really interesting to me. I was actually at Del Mar over the weekend. Had some business down there, and I was at the track. And I'm really, really curious to see how it's going to play out. And again, to me, it's kind of a twofold thing. Are you saying that because of this, you'll watch golf? Or are you saying that because of this, I will gamble on golf? Or are you saying because of this, I will do both? And I know this, it's going to change the way we view sports in time. Over time, it absolutely will. Because these broadcast companies are going to be more and more involved in it and in the production of it, and it's going to affect the way we watch games and sports. Todd Furman came on, and again, there's a couple of things that in play here. One, is your state going to legalize gambling? That's point number one. Like, California still has not legalized it. Number two, it's one thing to have it legal in your state, but it's entirely another to have it legal in mobile form. You know, if you have to go into the actual building, bricks and mortar, that's different than having that sports book or that casino right on your phone. And Todd Furman and I talked about that too.
It's definitely mobile. The most powerful devices any of us use in our day-to-day is the mobile phone. So when you have that there, you essentially have a sports book in the palm of your hand. And I've been blown away by a number of states that haven't introduced mobile bills. They're still working under the auspices that this is the 1970s and that everybody is going to drive into their local casino. They're going to park their car. They're going to take advantage of the buffet, and they're going to bet their 16 parlay over the counter. If states want to try and approve sports betting and you're not going to legalize mobile, don't waste anybody's time. I think you look at New Jersey and the way they've done it, the numbers that they're producing from a betting handle standpoint surpassing Nevada is directly tied to the very casual and laid-back approach they've taken to mobile. I think it's the smartest, most effective way to do it. And if you can allow people to deposit remotely after they've signed up for an account, it's going to open that Pandora's box.
No doubt. No doubt. Like, what good is it? I'm not going to say what good is it to legalize, but what good is it to legalize if you also don't have a mobile bill attached to it or separate from, but then put forward? It's like saying, yeah, well, I'll keep shopping. I'll go to the mall. Well, you might go to the mall, but then again, you might not if you can get on your phone and order whatever you want, and then it's going to come right to your house. So I just think it's really interesting the number of clones said after they took part in that game, I would never have done something like this. I had no interest, but going forward, I'll do it again. For the aforementioned reasons. It was easy. It was fun. I had access to Elk. I beat Elk. I talked junk about beating Elk. I worked Hawk. Normally, I would never, ever, ever bet on golf. And why did you do it? Because you had access. Because it was easy. And because you had a connection to a guy you love in Steve Elkington. There is hour number one. When we come back, I'm going to break from the phones. And we'll go back to back. I'm going to start hour number two with a conversation with UCF head football coach Josh Heupel. He's entering his second season as the Knights head coach. That's coming up next. After that, we talk some more golf with Robert Lucetich. Then we're open until the end of hour number three. I'm going to end the program today by talking to a former NFL player and one of my favorites, Ross Tucker. In between all of that, I want to get into Brooks Koepka and him lashing out against slow play. Also, Odell Beckham Jr. saying he felt disrespected when the Giants traded him. Like that's some sort of news flash or something and a reason to jump that guy. Slow play might be a reason to go, but a player saying that he felt disrespected because he got traded is nothing to get upset about. All that's coming up. Don't go anywhere. Hour number two, straight ahead.